Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Thank you for joining us. And if you've gotten our podcast, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. This is our specialty, and that is we have questions that have come to us by email, and we have put our minds together, and we're going to be trying to answer those questions. And as a matter of fact, we're going to look forward and see if we can get a few of those people on the line with us, too, and talk with them about the questions they answered. Coming up next. You know, Gary, since this is our 18th year of doing this, one of the ways that we started was by answering listeners' questions, right?
That's right.
And that has been, for us, I think, one of the favorite parts of our program. And it usually has been this, the second hour, where we get to take questions that have been provided to us. Mm-hmm. And by the way, on times when we are preempted, for instance, like by a sporting event on our home station, WJR, then what happens is we have people all throughout the week who are sending us emails. And by the way, a great way of doing that is simply going to internetadvisor.net and clicking on the Contact Us button and then sending us your question. And during the week, Ed, you make a point of helping out by answering a lot of those questions.
I do. And don't mind the spelling mistakes because I'm usually speaking into my phone.
That's why it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't spell check wonderful?
Yeah. It should be my voice check. I got to have that Midwest accent.
Whatever the trick is, you have some really interesting spellings and content to that.
And if you want to see my spelling mistakes, just go to our Internet Advisor website and ask us a question.
But spelling mistakes aside...
But the answers are good.
The answers are good. Yes, exactly. And I know, so Shane, you have helped out with answers as well.
Yes.
So we're going to be looking at some of the questions that came on during this last week and some of the answers we gave. And if we can, we'll talk with some of the people there. But Shane, we have Shane Hamlin with us in studio along with Ed Rudell. Shane, you have been a gamer for a long time. But had your own program at one point on radio about gaming.
Games.
And there's something I saw this week that kind of shocked me. Mm-hmm. I guess we've talked about malware and the ability that it has to screw up your life. But there usually are ways of getting around it. You can go through with malware bytes and combo fix. And Ed, you've had a number of tools for that. But I saw this thing about CryptoLocker and ransomware that absolutely freaked me out because there's no cure.
There is no cure. I mean, it's the end all of viruses right now.
And it's hitting gamers in particular.
Yeah. They're hitting gamers because they're the ones out there looking for... backtrack a little bit. A lot of games nowadays, back in the day, you wanted a game, World of Warcraft or EverQuest or whatever you were playing, Star Wars. You'd go to Best Buy or wherever you were going to go, GameStop, and spend $40-$50. You bring the physical game home.
Right.
And you pay a monthly fee of, $9 a month. Mm-hmm. And that gives you all the live content and updates and everything on this multiplayer game online. Well, it's changed now. The new fad of gaming is free-to-play, where it doesn't cost anything to play these great titles, but they have what they call microtransactions. So if you want that little bit better armor, $2 will get you that better armor.
Or a different weapon.
Or a different weapon, or experience regen potion, or, those kind of little things that help you along with the game. Now, the average player that doesn't want to pay for those things can still earn those things. They just have to put in the legwork to earn them like the old way. Now you can just buy it. So what they're doing is you've got a lot of these kids that don't want to have to go out there and mine, 40 blocks of granite, or 4,000 blocks of granite. So they look online and, I can buy it for $1. Well, the problem is it's not the right site. It's a ransomware site. It's a virus site. They go to it and they get this ransom CryptoLocker virus. And it's hitting all these little microtransactions. It's not coming from the particular legitimate sites. It's not coming from Steam, or it's not coming from World of Warcraft, Blizzard, or Microsoft with Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
They're going in and doing a search for Minecraft granite blocks, and the first couple of results are coming are those ads for those those viruses.
Apparently, and this is talking about something called CryptoLocker and ransomware. Now, talk a little bit about what that is and what it does.
Once you either gone to the wrong website or open an email that you weren't supposed to, and you get infected with this particular ransomware virus, it locks your system down. As soon as you turn it on, you're going to see this big alert that's going to come up and say, "Hey, we've taken over your system. You've been infected. If you want this content back, call this number, go to here and do this." They give you the steps, and it's going to cost you $350 or whatever the price is.
And when you do that, do you get it unlocked?
Well,
or is that this part of the scam?
Well, here's the thing. I think think sometimes it does. I think sometimes you can get your stuff on, because what it will do is perpetuate the myth that, oh, if I pay, I will get my stuff back. And you'll see online, you'll see some people that have paid and did get their stuff released.
Mm-hmm.
But then most cases, probably not.
No, it's almost like extortion.
Yeah.
They keep on hitting you for that.
Yeah, I mean, if nobody gets their stuff back when they paid, it'd go pretty quickly through the internet. Oh, don't pay it. You're not going to get your stuff back anyway.
Right. So is there, you know, like Ed, we've talked about like malware bytes and other things, combo fixes to cure this. Is there anything like that that we've talked about before for this?
There's nothing.
I don't think there's anything, because basically the user is probably unloading a zip file or a pack file or a RAR file.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're just clicking it on something.
Yeah, they're clicking on it, and basically they're running it, and it's supposed to install somewhere. And Windows may even be saying, are you sure you wish to run this underneath this privileged account? Mm-hmm. And basically they're saying, yeah, you know, ignore that. Go ahead. And then,
yeah, go ahead. Bam. I want that.
Meanwhile,
I
it's running
that.
In the background.
And it's so bad that when we get it in our store, that it will actually jump network computer to computer.
Ouch.
It'll go on your thumb drive. And you don't have to. As soon as you put your thumb drive in one of those machines, instantly transfer to that thumb drive. And the second you, it infects so quickly.
Oh, it's almost like some Stuxnet kind of thing.
I mean, it's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, actually quite a bit different, but you're right.
Yeah, but I mean, in the sense of going, as you said, wow.
Yeah, we have to disconnect, start pulling network cables and disconnect, shutting down the routers. And
oh, you've really had that happen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, wow. We first started encountering it, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. When we come back, we're talking about Shane Hamlin about this crypto lock or ransomware. And if you go to our homepage, we'll have an example there from an article about this, of what that looks like. I want to talk about quickly what you can do to help yourself avoid this when we come back. And then we'll talk about our first question that was provided for us from Irina, somebody we happen to know, when we return in just a moment. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast here and this second part of our program. I'm Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Shane Hamlin are in studio. Just quickly, Shane, before we go to our next question, I want to ask you, we talked about this crypto locker where it's called ransomware. It literally locks down your data. You can't get rid of it. There's no way of scrubbing it. Is there anything you can do about it?
Yeah, the only defense is or the only offense, I guess, or no, going, the only defense against is a good offense is backing up your data.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's the only way to protect it 100%.
Cuz essentially you're going to have to reformat.
Yeah, you do reformat and you lose all your it's so funny because it looks like your data's there. You can see your files, but as soon as you go to open them, it says it don't have permission to open.
Am I liable?
So Shane, what about like the programs? If you're reformatting, you got to load all your programs as well.
You have to reload,
And a lot of times we don't get media. So when you're downloading a program, what's the best practice?
Well, I mean, for instance, the number one program you're going to have to reload and download is probably your Office, Microsoft Office. That's going to be the number one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nowadays, you create a Microsoft account for that cloud download. So all you'll have to do is just re-log in. Re-sign into your Microsoft account, just dump it back down. That's all.
What about some of the games that people use?
Games, I mean,
some of them are free, as you said, but sometimes they're not free. And there's other things that, you know, you may buy, even if you're not paying all that much for them anymore. Do you have to rebuy them? Or what would you do when you down? It says download and install, but there's a stop in between, right?
Sometimes this ransomware will not affect those install files.
But you're still reformatting, though.
Correct, but you can grab. See, when I work on a machine that has this virus, I know certain things are gone. I know pictures are gone, and videos are gone, and music is gone, and data documents are gone. But a lot of time, it will leave the actual zip file, executable, or if I've downloaded Photoshop and I have it still in the folder, that's still clean, and I can sometimes grab those and back them up, even with the infected. Okay. To recover those.
Do you suggest having somebody help you put it back on, though? It sounds like pretty...
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not one of those... unless you're just going to, you know, throw your factory recovery disks in and do it yourself, it's not one of those things. If you've got some stuff in there, like old... We get this all the time. Like old guys that have retired from the industry but still think they're CAD designers, still have that old, you know, CAD 1.0 on there, and they'll never get it back, but they want it. And because once it's gone for them.
Right. Yeah,
and
right.
In a lot of cases, it is. I mean, that's when something like this strikes... You're gonna lose something.
So I know that sometimes when you download a program, what I'll do is I'll download it, and then before I install it, I'll run that download file off to and back it up to a hard drive somewhere that I disconnect from the computer. And the reason I do that is sometimes when you then install, it opens up the file, and instead of just all reading, it writes back and says, basically, you've used the install. So I've installed it on one computer. Otherwise, you download it, and you could install it on a whole bunch of computers if you were to pay for it. So they stop you from doing it once you've actually installed it. So I back up before I install. So between the download and the install.
That's good.
And I find that now you can get a pristine download file that I can load on another computer if I want. Or I can load it back on this computer if I do have a problem and it gets wiped out.
Or you can just, you can do that. Or just take yourself a really nice image, you know, like with a Cronus or something, and store that ISO or that image file. And then you just put that image right back
Let's stop there.
It's very quick.
We've talked about this before. A Cronus is a piece of software, right, Ed?
Yes.
That you can use to make an image. What is an image and what is that?
Well, it takes it's an image or an exact replica of your hard drive
or
your computer and stores it into a single file on an external device or CD. And then you use that same Acronis software, which usually provides the ability to create a bootable CD like Microsoft or a bootable flash drive. And then you can use that to then restore that image or that mirror copy back onto your computer.
So, and does it cost anything?
Yes.
How much?
I think, well, is Acronis still free for individual consumers?
For the home user, you can use it the one time, but it won't let you browse the network. You have to put it on a thumb drive, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have an external storage for that image. And that's because most people, like corporate people, use the network for those images, and they block that. It's not horribly expensive, though. It really isn't. But it's a good piece of software to use.
And it's spelled Acronis. Acronis. There you go. And
good piece of software.
So people should get it, run off an image or two every couple weeks?
Well, you could use Acronis, but Windows 7 and Windows 8 also allow you the ability to create an image of your computer now.
Right.
So Acronis, although you could still do it, and I still prefer the interface and the flexibility that Acronis provides, Windows 7 and 8 also provides you the same ability to make an exact
very
duplicate of your computer and then put it on an external device.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that way you can use the Windows 7 or 8 recovery CD or DVD to restore your image back.
Well, I'm looking at it looks like $50 for one computer.
It's a great piece of software. We use it. We try to redo our images every, month or so.
But for the folks who are out there who want it,
Having that is better than nothing, trust me.
Yes, exactly. And you said, Eddie, and it's very good, is that that Microsoft built that property into Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 now as well.
And you can use
not
also,
as powerful, not as flexible, but it does what it's supposed to do with Microsoft tools anyways.
Very good. Yeah, cool. Okay, let's talk about one of the questions that came in was from Irina, somebody we've worked with here at WJR, our flagship station. And she said, I received confirmation from Google's tech support that my MacBook Pro, which is about a 2013 model, my iPhone 5S, and an iPad Air, first generation, had almost been infected with numerous viruses through my home ISP. It's interesting that they would say it was almost infected. Mm-hmm. That sounds a little strange. Anybody?
Well, if you're infected, it's too late.
It's like being almost pregnant. You either are or you aren't.
But they said you dodged one. Don't count on dodging the next one.
Maybe that was it.
And it also sounds like that this might be a phishing scheme.
Yes.
From someone that's trying to masquerade as Google, saying, you were almost infected in your Android account.
So therefore.
Disregard it.
That's exactly what it was.
Right, exactly.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. When I saw that description of what had happened there, I thought, Irina, that doesn't sound straight. To have somebody say you were almost infected sounds like they're saying, but fortunately, we have this software to sell you, and this software will make sure that never happens to you again.
It is getting so crazy out there, guys. And listen, from someone who is out there in the front lines every day.
We should mention, by the way, that you have a shop that you go to every day, Comtech Services.
Comtech Services and Sterling Heights. I fight this every day. It is insane.
He has all these wounds, I guarantee you.
You wouldn't believe it, how bad it is going right now. I mean, it almost makes me sometimes think, boy, are we destroying the internet?
Yes, it does. Yeah,
I mean,
so bad.
Is it so? I mean, because I've got customers that come in, every single week that have the same thing happen to them over and over again.
Oh, ouch.
So why is that?
You know what? It's, you know, they're going, no matter how many times I can tell them, hey, don't open your brother's email or don't click on this link in Facebook or don't go to Google and search for so-and-so. I mean, I can only tell them so many times, mm-hmm. but it's not clicking with a lot of people.
Okay.
You know, they're used to the internet going and getting all this information. Now I slap their hand and say, you can't do that anymore. Well, what good is the internet then? That's what I get.
So, Arena, we would suggest to you, be careful anytime you get that kind of thing. And essentially, your Macs are pretty bulletproof in many ways to a lot of malware. However, there's a Clam XAV that Cal and I use, and it is very good for taking care of the malware that is out there. Back in just a second. Welcome back. It's hour number two of the Internet Advisor. And in just a little bit, we're going to be talking with Emily Hay, who is our social media expert. She's be getting in touch with us. We're going to be talking about a question we had that was sent to us by Greg this last week about learning how to use some of this social media. And we'll get back to that in just a second. I want to wrap up something. We were talking about Irina, and we were talking about her question about how to protect a Mac. And I mentioned the fact that it's pretty well protected to start with, but Clam XAV is a good piece of software to have, and that's what I have in mind. I also use some, well, there's a number of other ones you can use, but basically you need to be very careful. And I think I think all of you guys would agree with this. The main thing is just to be wise consumers and keep your eye out when something like this happens that you say, well, you almost got, no.
Well, it's as simple as this. They're never take a phone call regarding your computer at all, ever.
Right.
Hang up immediately. Have fun with them. Tease them. Hang up. Well, do whatever you got to do. It's never going to be Microsoft. It's never going to be Google. That's false. That's
right.
One of the it's easy to remember. Right. It really is.
And, the other things,
and if you really think something might be legit, say, great. Get off the phone with them. Call that company.
Right.
Right. And then if there's something that you really need to do, then you get back on the phone with them, right? But you call them.
Yeah. But
you
don't accept
a phone call. And that should be whether it's about the internet or anything. Right?
And then I say anything that asks you for your passwords or anything else like that through an email, et cetera, done. That's a hoax as well. Well, hey, we have Emily Hay with us here now, our lady of the social media. How you doing, Emily?
I'm good. Hey there, Foster. Hey, guys. How are you today?
Hey there, Foster. Okay.
We're teasing. We're teasing.
Because Emily's company is Hey There.
Hey there, social media. I'm glad you got that in.
Thanks.
Emily, we had a question that came in for a gentleman named Greg. And here was his question. Do you know of any classes in LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter? And he says, I have all three, and trial and error has made a disorganized mess of my system here, and I'd like to straighten things out in advance. What would you offer as a cure for somebody like this, or a way of helping them?
Sure. So one of the best organizations we have here in town is Social Media Club Detroit.
Ah.
And they offer regular meetings, so there's always going to be social media professionals that get together and talk about things going on in the industry. But the meetings are at various venues that even if you're a brand newbie to social media and you just want to get some advice, you can go. I'm looking at their Facebook page now, and they have been hosting various educational sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to, sure you can link to them through the Internet Advisor site.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you'll be send us that link, and then we'll do is we'll post that on our homepage so people can get that. That's really neat. Now, do you think that they have other branches, let's say, in Western Michigan or throughout the area?
That's a good point. Yes, absolutely. So Social Media Club is a national organization.
Ah.
So, yes, I would say that I should know that off the top of my head. But
that's okay.
Yeah, there would be various regions that would have Social Media Club. But again, don't be intimidated. You know, someone that's just getting started that thinks, oh, I'm not a professional in the field, just go to those sessions, and they offer all kinds of help. And remember, it's free, or at least very low cost. But most of the time, they're free gatherings.
And it's a socialmediaclub.org. And when you get there, you can look for different locations that they will have throughout the United States. Yep. And I like the business that you can be a newbie, and then you can find a level of interaction there. You don't have to feel like, oh, gee, I'm just too dumb to do this. But that's a great place to go.
Right. So that's, that's something that happens in the community. Now, don't forget about Meetup. If you go to meetup.com, you might search just whatever you're looking for, LinkedIn help or LinkedIn trainings. Oh. I mean, I know I used to personally lead some LinkedIn sessions at the Community House in Birmingham here in Southeast Michigan. Mm. So generally, any community center or you know, local place you can take classes might have some social media courses for you to go to, just informally. But otherwise, yeah, check out Meetup. There might be some groups around your neighborhood.
So Meetup, it's meetup.com. And it's for all different kinds of groups?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, meetup.com is a significant platform. I mean, you could find everything from wine enthusiasts to social media enthusiasts. So just look and see what's out there.
So, Emily, how does it work? Let's see, if I'm in Lansing and I go to meetup.com, I'll find it. It'll then show me what's going on in the Lansing area, right?
You can type in your interest or what you're looking to find. Remember, Meetup is just it's a hub to gather people together around various topics. So there could be a group of people that talk about LinkedIn every Tuesday at 7 o'clock that you don't even know about happening down the street.
You know, Gary, I know that you've used LinkedIn for a long time. Was it mainly for professional or business kind of?
Yeah, I mean, mainly it's business oriented, right? Where, you know, Facebook is both, but primarily, you know, friends and family and whatnot. But,
and Emily,
and
are
Twitter's
you...
about both. Really.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I it seems to me, and see if you can confirm this or not, that LinkedIn is now making a move to be more than just a business professional kind of a gathering place.
Does anything jump out to you that's making you think
I'm not sure that's the case, but tell me what...
Well, because, you know, for instance, there are groups you can... You know, if you're interested in podcasting, mm-hmm. you can become part of a podcast group, or it's more than...
But it's not basket weaving groups.
That's true.
It's still professional.
That's the issue. It's still professional. I got you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And remember, when you're a member of a LinkedIn group, generally that group has a logo that will show up on your profile. So it's kind of a neat way for someone to show at a glance in their LinkedIn profile what groups they're a part of.
So, you know, it could be your school. I have a couple alumni associations.
Oh, really?
And then it could be other groups that I'm interested in. I have an affinity for, you know, executives in banking or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But there's, or my company, there's some company groups. I actually have a group we call the Baker's Dozen. It's about career networking. So.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
We got almost 600 people in the group.
Emily, any special things going on over at Hey There Social Media?
Yeah, I mean, we've been plugging along, looking for, you know, all things that are happening as we get closer towards the summer season here. Social media just keeps on going. But, no, it's funny. We just continue to look through social media and see it's integrated with digital marketing. And, you know, we personally are, as I said, social media experts. Mm-hmm. But SEO and content marketing, and there's just so many things under the digital marketing umbrella that I think we are talking about things more than just social media. And before it was just, all you need to worry about is your Facebook page and have a really great blog. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, no, you have to look at your digital marketing strategy holistically.
Yep.
And I know I'm only scratching the surface on that sort of discussion. But, it's. I guess what I would say is instead of having a narrow focus on I should be using social media, maybe, you know, I encourage small business owners to take a step back and say, well, where else are you marketing? And if you are just thinking a Facebook page is enough, that's not going to cut it.
Mm. By the way, part of the reason I asked Emily that question is that we've been talking about, as Greg was asking, where can you go to find out about social media for the user, the general user out there. But if you have a business, places or companies like Hey There Social Media are a great place to go to help you, get a leg up on the competition, if you will. Get more out of social media than just, you know, kind of like gathering together with friends. This is where you can really make your business work through this as well. And that's where Emily and her colleagues are so good at that. Emily, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks, Foster. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you for being here. Emily Hay, our social media expert. Thank you with HeyThereSocialMedia.com. Okay, guys, let's see. What's some of the other questions we had here?
You know, I had one for Shane here. I had a user that actually, and I am, this is out of the blue here. And he basically says that he's trying to do a Windows update, and I could not help him over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And the update continues to fail. With... and I gave him a number of troubleshooting steps. Mm-hmm. Microsoft provided a fix-it that, if you will, that will supposedly fix the problem.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is to go to your software distributions folder underneath your Windows and delete the content.
Them out. Yep.
Delete the contents of that. Do a scan disk and a check disk, because there's something going on here. And I also asked them to look up that specific error, which had to do typically with, you know, date and time. Mm-hmm. Is your date and time matching perfectly to what the internet time machine is?
Yeah. Mm.
And other than that, he says, no, I still get this error.
Did he check his date and time?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He swears he did.
You know, the Windows update errors are kind of goofy to me, because you'll get the error code. You know, it'll tell you why it didn't go through.
Yep.
And you'll put that in, you know, your browser, and you'll find a bunch of things. And you literally have to go through all those to find. I mean, Microsoft puts out the fix-it,
yep.
You know, files.
Well, by the way, just explain what a fix-it is.
A fix-it file is pretty much, instead of you going in and following all these steps to go into your regedit and change all this, they did it for, they did an executable.
It'd be kind of neat, yeah.
An executable regedit is what they did for you. And they do it for you.
They got tired of writing all those damn instructions is what it was.
But you know, I find a lot of times,
why don't
we
just code this?
I had one just as recently, and it would constantly roll back and roll back, and I was able to find a fix for it, and it was just literally taking the Norton uninstaller, the program that uninstalls Norton. Instead of doing it through the Windows version, grabbing the uninstaller tool through Norton, that took care of the updates.
Really?
Making sure all your antivirus is fully uninstalled.
Yep, and I saw that on the list. I did not think, you know, I'll write them back and ask them.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Shane. When we come back, I want to go through that list again.
Yeah.
I want to thank the guys here in studio who have been helping us. Mr. Gary Baker, of course, Ed Rudell, and Shane Hamlin.
Yes, yes.
And that trio will be back next week as well to help answer questions. And the man behind the sound effects is Mr. Rich Lozinski. Thank you very much. Okay, Shane, we had a question. Or Ed, you had talked about a question about fixing a Windows update problem. It kept happening and happening again.
Right. And I went through my toolkit of standard answers and things that I've done. And Shane came up with another one that I was really hesitant to, you know, I don't know if I want to ask him to do that. Why don't you explain it?
Because
that seems sort of drastic. And I know we don't badmouth them, but sometimes we're like, Norton uses up so much resources. Maybe you should try to use the standard Microsoft antivirus.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't use as much resources. Norton is a good antivirus program, but sometimes antivirus programs can interfere.
Well, they'll block a lot of stuff, you know, firewall stuff. And what I like to do is whenever I'm troubleshooting a computer, there's a few things that I always do. First thing is I strip out all antivirus. And I don't just go through the uninstall method through Windows. I actually will go and grab the actual utility from the company. You know, AVG has an uninstall tool.
Right.
McAfee does. Mm-hmm. And I'll grab that and I'll run that as administrator, and I will strip everything out of that machine. That's the first thing I do. Then I'll go through and, you know, you do all your temp files and your C cleaners and you clean out all your temps. So you want to really, while you're troubleshooting, you want to start and make sure you have a clean, healthy computer.
Yep.
Once you have that, then you can start troubleshooting, and go from there.
Because
if you're not, you know, it's
that's just a very good start to it. And then you can add some of these other things on that we've been talking about.
So my family teases me because I have 3 laptops plus my iPad are sitting at my desk, right? And they're going, you know, you really need them all? I said, well, this one's a Win 8.1, this one's Win 7, this is my office computer, I can't put anything on that, and experiment for the show and other things. So, you know, they're all for different purposes, right?
Exactly.
I had a problem downloading the latest Windows update, right? And all I did was shut off my antivirus.
Yeah.
And
hit
it again, and it came down.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I turn it right back on again, right? You've got to make sure that you turn it back on.
By the way, I've heard that
some antiviruses, you have the ability to disable for the next 30 minutes, an hour, or next reboot, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So always try mouse clicking on the antivirus icon, because it may provide that feature. Mm-hmm. That's an excellent point, Gary. Thank you.
One of the things I've heard a number of times over the last few weeks is this whole business about time and date not being set properly. And why is that? We're hearing that more and more often. You know, anybody have any ideas why that happens?
Is it the battery? Because usually it's the battery, right?
Yeah, sometimes the virus will do that too.
Good
point. So you can't run your antivirus. You can't run these programs. And you'll never notice it unless you look down and go, oh, it's not 2000.
A virus that actually targets that? Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
That's tricky.
Smarter.
That makes sense.
And you'll look down and go, well, it's not 2000.
I have another listener
42.
That actually replaced his battery.
Yeah.
And it... The darn thing still loses time. He'd be sitting there and all of a sudden the time changes.
But the virus is the one. That's right. If it changes the time,
it can't get updates. Can't download virus signatures.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shane. Wow.
Thank you. That is really that you've answered the question about why we're seeing so much
of this
right now.
There are tricky viruses out there.
They're all right, Ed. Let's talk about some of the other questions we've had come in here this last week. go ahead.
No, I know you want to. We were talking about these viruses, and Ed, we'll get to you in 1 second. But I think it would be a really good idea one day if we on the show actually infected ourselves with this crypto virus.
Ooh.
And went through the steps of calling them on the air and getting the whole and seeing what happens and do you get your files back or do you not and listening to the script and the whole thing.
Could you bring in a computer that we could do that sure. with? Because I don't want to do it.
No,
mine.
But I mean, we can do it to any computer. Just as long as we hit the clean slate, we can just always wipe it out. But I'd really, to record it for the people so they hear it and know exactly what's going on would be a great idea.
Yeah. It's gotten pretty sophisticated.
I like stepping in front of traffic, too.
On two-lane highways where I can see clearly in both directions, not on expressways.
That doesn't sound exciting to me, Shane, but I'm glad you get into it. No, that'd be great.
I'd look over your shoulder while you do it on your computer. Yeah.
No, we'll do it. Wow. Sounds great.
There are companies that do that, and they will do that precisely so that they can catch the bad guys at it. Do any of you watch CSI Cyber? Have any of you watched that?
I don't watch much TV.
So. I've watched two episodes of that. Have you watched
it? A little bit. I see it here and there, and I catch a little bit here and there.
Kind of interesting.
Is it good? Yeah.
So I'm not quite sold on it yet, but it's interesting. And one of the things they talk about a lot is the deep web. And we did a show on that. Remember then?
Yeah.
This is maybe about 6 months ago, that there's another level of communication that's going on beyond the internet that we all see, and that there are ways of kind of getting down to that. It's there. It's there on the computers that we use, only if you have to have ways
the browser, like with the purple onion or black onion, the browser that opens that up for you.
Yeah.
And basically, you have to have the encryption keys, if you will, to get into the Emerald City, so to be able to access the content. So you have to have, you know, basically you're running a virtual VPN server that scrambles your data, so it's difficult to find out where you're going on the internet. It's all masked. So they have no way of telling where you know, they know you're hitting it. They just have no idea where you're going.
But they're on the same internet we're on.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same pipe.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It's just a different network, virtual network, if you would.
Right. And it's not using HTTP. It's using something else.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you were to use a browser, it would be something not HTTP. What is it? I think it's Tor, T-O-R.
Oh, yeah, T-O-R. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so just like you use, you know, for an FTP or file transfer protocol site, FTP, right? When it used to be...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right? When it used to be Gopher, there used to be Gopher. You'd have Gopher dot.
And I see.
Then we came to the web, you could use HTTP, right? Slash, okay. colon, slash, slash, and then whatever URL, right?
And the WWW was the...
That's the World Wide Web.
World Wide Web.
Right.
Different than, say, a mail program, which would be SMTP.
Ah, okay.
Right?
So where is the deep web in that? Protocol. It's not on the HTTP?
No, it's not on HTTP, but it's on the same internet, same pipe, but you use a different protocol to get to it. You get used TOR.
Yeah,
we don't want to teach everybody how to do this.
But I'm connecting to it now, and it will actually connect to the Tor network.
Right.
With the browser.
And that's the torrent network?
No,
it's just Tor network. It's a separate language code for internet protocol that they're using to describe this.
Yeah. We don't want to send anybody to the deep web, but I was fascinated to see more and more talk on it, like in this program, about the deep web and things that are being, you know, there are drugs and all sorts of other strange things that are being sold there and things like that. Yeah. In fact, the Silk Road was one of those ones that was shut down. And credit cards, exactly. Now, Ed, before, I got to find out what you helped the person who has wanted to know and sent us an email about Binkyland and wanted to know how to get rid of it.
Well, basically, Malwarebytes will identify it and install it. But Binkyland is an application, but I told her, Binkyland is an application that allows you to do gaming on the internet. And she mentioned in one of her earlier emails that she enjoys playing with someone else on the internet in their games. And this program wasn't working anymore. So I told her that, yes, you could probably, it's probably on there and monitoring everything you do on the internet, but it's also allowing you to play games.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to find a legitimate type of way of playing card games on the internet and Yahtzee and anything else rather than Binkyland.
Binkyland?
Yeah.
Have you heard of it at all, Shane?
No.
Being a gamer?
I'm a gamer, but I'm not a Binkyland gamer. But yeah, there's tons of places you can go for free games.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you some know, of our older listeners like to play Yahtzee and things like that.
Pogo's a big one.
Pogo.
Pogo's, okay. You know, very safe. You can, you know, buy your subscription. It's a couple bucks a month. Play all the games you want until you're blue in the face.
Okay.
Now, they require you to always update your Java because it's a Java-based platform, but yeah, it's easy to do.
And it's P-O-G-O, right?
P-O-G-O, yeah, pogo.com.
Okay, yep. pogo.com. And Binkyland was one of those gaming kind of
stuff. I think so. And basically, okay. I said use the Malwarebytes to remove it, go into add, remove programs, and then, you know, if you want to, go out there and find a legitimate gaming.
All right, and hope that helped you. By the way, folks, if you would like to get some help, it's very simple. Go to internetadvisor.net, click on the Contact Us button, and then send us an email with your question. And if you're in the Detroit area and you can catch, or throughout northern Indiana and Ohio as well, and into southwestern Ontario, from 5 until 6 o'clock, you can also hear us on WJR as well and get your questions in there. Or we'll see you at internetadvisor.net.